Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 20, studying Matthew chapter 20. As we get started, these reminders. For free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. Two new books are available. First, the book, Receiving the Gift of Salvation, does just what the title suggests. It teaches that God gives us salvation, but it also teaches us how we receive that gift. Download it, read it, and you will be blessed. The second book, Surrendering to His Lordship, studies the Lordship of Jesus, meaning His authority. Many people claim to be Christ's, yet they fail to fully surrender to Him. Download the book, read it, and again, be blessed by it. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to 55222. That's text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org for a free self-paced series of courses, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Remember to follow IGH at facebook.com/internationalgospelhour and at twitter.com/JodyApple. Let's return to our study of Matthew chapter 20. Here's where we were at the end of our last broadcast. The opening verses of Matthew 20 emphasize the expectations, the divine demands of the kingdom of heaven. Those expectations were distilled in Jesus' final statement in Matthew 19. But many who are first will be last, and the last first, Matthew 19:30. Those expectations continued to be explored into Matthew 20. The disciples, in response to Jesus' statement that it was hard for the rich to enter heaven, 19 verses 23 and 24, were greatly astonished, prompting them to ask, "Who then can be saved?" Verse 25. Jesus assured them that this was impossible for men, but not for God. Verse 26. And then Peter asked, in effect, "We have given up everything for you, and we have followed you. What will we get?" Verse 27. There's no way to know everything that Peter was thinking in this setting, but the disciples' astonished reaction to Jesus' remark about the rich caught their attention. They were still thinking about themselves more than they should. There has always been an underlying current, a combination of a worldly, success-oriented philosophy with a complicit cheap theology, one that made, better, one that assumed, too much of a connection between being God's and being blessed by God, especially being physically blessed by God. Yes, there are plenty of passages that tell us that God wants to bless us, and that God wants to bless us abundantly. Does that mean that unless we have abundant physical blessings, we cannot be God's disciples? No, not at all. While it's true that God wants to bless us abundantly and to physically bless us in abundance, there's more to divine blessings than that. Too many of God's disciples are plagued by this type of thinking. We serve you, so now what do we get? Truth be told, there are many passages that teach us that we should be willing to serve even if God never blesses us physically at all. For example, though Job was blessed abundantly, Job's life and the book that bears his name support the idea that we must be willing to serve God even if we receive nothing in return. That's the unprofitable servant model that we see in Luke chapter 17, verses 6 through 10. Even when we have done all that we were asked to do, we are still unprofitable servants. And that's the conclusion of Habakkuk's prophecy. Hear what Habakkuk wrote in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." Though Jesus obviously promised blessings to the disciples in Matthew 19, they were distant, more spiritually oriented, in the kingdom blessings, some of which came when the earthly iteration of the kingdom came, but a good portion of which would not be realized until eternity. And then there's this kingdom of heaven as vineyard parable in Matthew chapter 20 that provides a much-needed corrective to the idea that what we do, our works, will guarantee or pay for a degree of physical and spiritual blessings from God that we think we deserve. That's never been true, and it's certainly not true here. Let's examine those opening verses of Matthew chapter 20 in more detail. We have already noted that Matthew 20 begins with no change in time or place or topic, meaning that the chapter continues what started at the end of Matthew 19. Here's another very obvious verification of that. Remember this word, inclusio? It's spelled just like the word inclusion, just without the final am. It's the Latin term that means just what the word inclusion means, and it's a common term used to explain how the New Testament often brackets or sets apart select segments of Scripture in order to emphasize them. It does so by using an identical or nearly identical phrase or word at the beginning and at the end of the segment to be highlighted. We saw it, for example, in the Beatitudes, the opening verses of Matthew 5. The first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," ends with this promised benefit, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then, in Matthew 5:10, we saw that expression again, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The appearance of that phrase at the beginning and at the end of the Beatitudes tells the readers and the listeners that everything in between those starting and stopping points was singularly significant. Moreover, everything from start to finish formed an integral unit that was not just uniquely important in its own right, but that informed and that affected the meaning and the significance of what appeared in the larger surrounding context. Why bring that up at this point? Because the last verse of Matthew 19, verse 30, says this, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." That verse forms the start of this bracketed, this highlighted segment of Scripture. We see a nearly identical restatement of that in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, at the end of the kingdom of heaven as vineyard parable. It says, "So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen." The import? The Scripture says, in effect, take note of the message of this text. It helps us to understand the larger context, and in this portion of Scripture, that goes back to the start of Jesus' interaction with the rich young man in Matthew 19, verse 16. The emphasis that started there moved into a higher gear when Jesus stated that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, chapter 19, verse 23. So, let's take an even closer look at the verses in between the starting point, 19:30, and the stopping point of this segment of text, chapter 20, verse 16. Here's how we summarized this passage earlier. A landowner hired workers for his vineyard throughout the course of a day. Each time that he hired workers, the landowner agreed to pay the laborers a designated wage. The landowner hired workers early in the day, and then throughout the day, and finally at the last hour of the day. At the end of the day, the landowner paid the workers hired last the same amount that he had agreed to pay the workers who were hired first. When the workers who were hired first saw that, they assumed that they would be paid much more. They did, after all, work considerably longer than the workers who were hired last. Yet, when the landowner paid them their wages, they received the same amount as the last hired workers, causing them, as you might expect, to complain about their wages. They expected to receive more because they worked more. Because this landowner vineyard laborer parable was about the coming kingdom of heaven, there are, of course, valuable spiritual lessons. In some kingdom of heaven parables, the immediate context tells us just what the parable means. For example, in Matthew 13, Jesus presented a series of parables about the kingdom of heaven. At least twice in that chapter, Jesus not only presented a parable, but Jesus also explained the meaning of the parable. In the first parable in the chapter, Jesus started by saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow," Matthew 13:3. As that parable unfolded, Jesus explained that the seed sown fell on different types of soil, each yielding a different reaction. Jesus closed that parable with these words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," Matthew 13:9. That closing line, in other contexts, and in this one too, tells us that Jesus expected that those who heard this parable could, would, and should understand its meaning. But at the end of the parable, there was no explanation of its meaning. As the text continues, however, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Matthew 13:10. Jesus answered the disciples' question in Matthew 13:11 through 13:17, and then, starting in Matthew 13:18 and continuing through verse 23, Jesus explained the meaning of the parable of the sower. Immediately after Jesus completed his explanation of that first parable, he launched into another parable, in which he spoke about a man who sowed good seed in his field and an enemy who sowed tares among that good seed. Chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 24 through verse 30. 6 verses later, in Matthew 13:36, his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And, as Jesus had done before with regard to the parable of the seed, soil, and sower, he explained the parable of the tares. Matthew 13, verse 37 through verse 43. Jesus often explained the meaning of his teaching, specifically his parables, within the immediate context of that teaching or parable, but not always. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 20. This reminder as we close, to start our completely free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.